hi Rob, hi Jason. You guys are doing a podcast about game building. Everybody listen.
Planet Explorers game that I was thinking about buying. It was like $25. It was on sale for $14, so I bought it. I haven't played it yet.
Cool. Did you look at that dinosaur one that I sent you?
I did. I thought about getting it, and then I forgot. So
I don't know anything about it.
It looks kind of cool. Yeah. And like the only thing I didn't like was it was PvP as well. Mm-hmm. And I really would rather it was like just PvE.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, I had a similar experience with Steam this past weekend, actually. Because reading again about the new SimCity game that came out earlier, like 2013, and that was just made fun of. I guess it was just a terrible disaster and a terrible game.
You'd think they'd have that right by now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that there's a lot of issues. We don't need to talk about all that. I think the core base concept and the way it worked, supposedly, I never played it, but supposedly was actually really cool. But some of the like online requirements and multiplayer requirements were really terrible.
Okay.
But anyway. But I really like building games and management games like that.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of poking around Steam looking for some of that stuff. And I found an old one called Startopia, where you have to build and manage a space station.
Oh, okay.
And it was like $14. I thought, oh, that looks kind of cool. It's fairly old, but I don't know. So I put it in my cart, not thinking about it. And then I was poking around this weekend again, and I found Prison Architect.
You're building a prison?
Rebuilding and maintaining a prison, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's cool, yeah. And it was on sale for like $7, normally $20 or something. So, oh, yeah, that's $7, I'll buy that. Yeah, sure, cool. It's still in early access. And then I went to check out, and I realized that Startopia was still in my cart, and it was discounted to like $1.29.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I bought them both.
Nice.
And I didn't even play Prison Architect yet. I spent about 6 hours playing Startopia.
Nice.
So I'm digging that. Whatever, we're recording. I mean, hi everybody, it's a podcast. Are you cool with that?
I feel like you should do the intro.
You think I should do the intro?
Plus we can't use like half the stuff we just talked about.
Well, I'll just cut it in the middle of it, whatever. Just fade up, you know? Just fade up.
That's fine.
All right. It's Monday, it's December 29th is what it is.
It is.
2014, last episode of the year. It's episode 135. I'm Rob, that's Jason.
Hey. This is what we like to call our 2014 year in review episode.
Year in review.
And so it's pretty informal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no big deal. Yeah.
Just here drinking some Cravatier. Just kidding.
I think it's Cravassier.
Cravassier, whatever. I thought that was just because of the list that he said it that way.
No.
The ladies' man. Drinking some Cravatier.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyways.
I've never had it, but...
Yeah. So, here's the thing. I was going to get some Shiner Cheer and then I forgot. A little bummed. That would have been good, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm sick, so I probably shouldn't have any alcohol anymore.
You probably would have, though.
I would have, but I shouldn't.
So how do we do the year interview episode? Well, for the last 2 years, all we do is we just go... The whole show is just us going through a list of our favorite things of 2014.
Yep.
Previously of other years. It'd be weird if every year we talked about 2014, especially since it hadn't happened.
The year that has just come and gone.
So we talk about that, and so that's what we're doing. We're recording this just before Christmas, Christmas Eve, as they say. We're pretty excited because we thought we were recording this like 2 weeks ago when we realized we were bad at math and that I had to do that on the fly pitch. So
we were ready.
It's exciting times.
And got over it. And actually, it's probably a good thing because since then I've had a chance to play a game that may be the best game I've played all year.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
So I'm glad that this was delayed.
Sweet.
But I'll wait until we get to that.
All right. Well, hey. So we have 12 questions on this list.
Yeah, and these are all questions that the last 2 years.
Yeah, we made these questions up the first year, and we've been using them ever since.
Right.
Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I thought maybe before we get into this in more detail, I wanted to give a few thank yous to some people who've given me some feedback on that fighting game. The testing. Obviously, Andy did a bunch of testing for me, and that was very welcome. Steve Aramini also sent me a couple of emails with some good feedback. So thank you very much for that, Steve. And our good buddy Lenny Wexford also played it with his son and gave me a lot of great comments. So thank you.
Oh, excellent.
Sirs. I really appreciate it. The next version of that game is going to have combos in it. I don't remember if we talked about that in the last episode or not, or if you and I came to that conclusion.
No, we came to that conclusion afterwards because you and I play tested it
right.
again, and you were explaining to me you wanted to put in jump cards.
Right.
And you were explaining how a jump card would work, and I was like, that sounds like a combo. And you were like, hey,
yeah,
let's call it combo. And then you started working with that. And have you haven't tested it with combos?
I've not had a chance to test it yet. I probably won't have a chance till after Christmas.
Right.
You know,
let's test it next week on lunch or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, so the idea here is actually limiting the power attack card. In place, you make the mid attack because you can block the mid attack on two separate block cards. Mm-hmm. So that one then becomes a power attack that does two damage. That was your suggestion, which I think is a great idea. And then that gives you a free card to use for something else. And my original thought was jump, but that conversation led us to a combo. So the idea being then that if you can play that combo card sometime in the round, then depending which two cards that's paired with, that will have some special effect on the game, which might allow you to cancel out another combo card or do extra damage or something like that. And I think it adds a lot more variety and some new strategy to the game.
It gives you a lot more, what do they say, a lot more design space for the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, it infinitely expands the game compared to what it was before. So, yeah, no, that's... I'm really excited to try it with the combos.
Me too.
We've been emailing back and forth about it because you were... I kept trying to give you suggestions, and you kept explaining to me why they wouldn't work. And you were right every time, which was great because it ended up being like...
Yeah, it was a good conversation.
Yeah, so it ended up, I think, helping you eventually come up with the one you want to use.
It did. And it's been really kind of fun because there are, you know, kind of at the base level, very, very few options on any given turn. And it allowed me to kind of play through every possible scenario.
Yeah, pretty
card
quickly.
Combinations. Yeah. Pretty quickly. Yeah, yeah. So that was really pretty cool, pretty fun. So I'm enjoying the challenge and the I don't know, the creative flexibility and restrictions in this design because it's so small and so compact.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Two things I want to mention. One, I wanted to just tell all the listeners, if you left a voicemail or an email, we're going to get to those on the next show just because we're going to keep this about this.
Twitter questions as well.
Yeah. So we've got all those saved. I promise we're not going to miss them.
Yep.
We got like three voicemails this week, so we will get those out next time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to say you mentioned Andy Lennox testing your game. Mm-hmm. So I want to just warn people about Andy Lennox. Here's what Andy does sometimes. Actually, I think Andy only does this to me, but it cracks me up. So we're going to have him on the show soon to pitch a game him and I are working on together. But so I started working on my Fantasy Farm racing game pretty intensely.
Oh, for real? Cool.
Yeah. So I love so far the concept of it. I don't know how good it's going to be, but right now on paper it feels good. So I'm describing it to Andy, and Andy's like, "I've always wanted to design a Mario Kart game," and then like 30 minutes later, going back and forth in this Gmail chat we have, because Andy and I chat back and forth on GChat like a lot, most days we do at least a little bit.
Your GChat BFFs,
yeah, we are. I realize that Andy's now just like co-designing this game. He's like, "I'm gonna design this with you."
He just stepped in.
So buyer beware. Andy might just take over the game with you. But no, actually, I mean, with me, he feels comfortable doing that. We've actually done that on projects before, but they just never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, we both feel really good about because he has wanted for a long time, like he said, to design a Mario Kart style racing game.
Yeah,
and I feel like that fits very well with this theme. And he brought to the table a really great idea for how to handle maneuvering in a way that we've never seen done before. So I'm excited about it. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because, like I said, when I pitch it, I'd really like to have him on so that he could kind of talk about it with me. But right now we're in the initial playtesting phases. He tried it once and he felt like it could work. He said it felt like it was cool, but that it needs some more, you know, obviously it needs a lot more playtesting. So
sure.
I'm going to do some playtesting this week since we've got some time off.
Yeah.
And see if it's any good and, you know.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm feeling good about it so far. I mean, just the concept and the kind of the initial design we've done feels like it could work. So that's exciting.
That's great.
So yeah. I just figured it's like the craziest theme ever. And
it's pretty ridiculous.
It would be kind of cool for Unpub.
Yeah. And listeners, just to remind you, that's the game with the two hens strapped to the feet of a halfling racing around the barnyard.
And there's a lot of other crazy combinations now that have been added that are actually more ridiculous, I think, than that. So
So go back a couple episodes, I think, when you pitched that one. A couple, three episodes, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So anyways, so hey, that's ever that. So, so let's talk about the year and stuff, right?
2014, man, what a year.
So,
big year for games, huh? Well, big year for us, I guess. I mean...
Yeah?
Yeah.
I re-signed my first game this year.
So yes. That's cool. Well, we don't want to... Spoilers. Come on. I guess we should just get into our questions then.
Well, I mean, it was true, though. That's not a question. Yeah. Did you re-sign a game this year?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. That's question zero. Question one...
Yeah.
Let me go first on this one. Go ahead and read the question.
Question is, what was the best new game you played this year? And I think the idea is not necessarily brand new published game, but new to you.
Right. Well, it could be new published.
Could be both. Right.
But, I mean, it also could be new to you. And we certainly have talked about it. And I know, like, last year's was Morels, which was not new last year, right? You guys just found it. I struggle with this one. I would say probably Camel Up. Only because... it's still been consistently fun every time I've played it. It's gotten less exciting the more that I've played it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because I'm kind of used to the shock of the fact that you have no idea the unpredictability about what's going to happen in the game and how bad choices can in the end win you the game and good choices seemingly can lose you the game.
Yeah.
But it's just a riot and it's so fun introducing it to new people.
For sure.
If I had to pick a runner-up, which I know we don't, but if I did, it would be Parade. Parade was so much fun.
Honorable mentions.
Yeah. If I had to have an honorable mention, it would be Parade. And that's just because Parade is so incredibly simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to play it. I always want to play it.
Yep.
But I don't get to play it that often, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But
I think I've ever played with two, or maybe Christine and I played with two once or twice and it was good, but it was better with more.
Yeah.
Better with more people.
It's a little more strategic, I think, because you can guess what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because there's only one card being played, which can have a drastic effect on the board, but only one drastic effect, where three people can have three drastic effects and completely change the state of the game by the time you get it. So, so anyways, that would be mine. How about you?
Okay. Well, yeah, I struggled. Like I said, when we were going to record this 2 weeks ago, I was really struggling, but I ended up finding the best one. I'll start with my honorable mentions. In fact, last week when we play, or last time we were going to record, Parade was going to be my winner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I love the crap out of that game. I don't need to rehash that again. A couple other honorable mentions. The Phantom Society, which I'm pretty sure actually came out in 2013.
Yes.
I really like that. I think it's a super cool, smart little two-player deduction game. The investigator versus the ghost. Because Christine and I could play 12 games of that in a row. I'm exaggerating.
Right.
Like 6 games in a row and
still,
be very happy.
That's a lot.
It's still a lot, and we would love every minute of it.
See, and what's interesting to me about that is I feel the way about that game that you feel about Camel Up.
Yeah.
Because the first time I played it, I thought, that's kind of cool. I mean, I had a little bit of I had different expectations than what the game was, and so did you.
Yeah.
You reacted to that better than I did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sure.
So.
Yeah. Another honorable mention, Cube Quest.
Oh, Cube Quest is fun.
Dude,
because
that's super fun.
That is a super fun game.
It's not as... it's just so chaotic.
Yeah.
It's not as such a... it's not a tight enough experience for me to say that it's the best game that I played all this year, but it's great. I really liked it. But I think, hands down, maybe just because it's new, but I'm pretty sure that my favorite game that I played all year is Super Fight, which I bet you haven't even heard of.
No.
No.
Did you just play it?
I just played it last weekend at a Christmas party. One of our coworkers actually brought it with him. It's an argument game. So it's a game about arguing with each other.
Okay.
Okay. The concept, it's also kind of a white and black setup, just like Cards Against Humanity. You have white cards. White cards are characters. Okay. And a character might be Wolverine. It might be George W. Bush. It might be a baby. Just all kinds of crazy, bizarre, silly, different things. So those white cards, and then the black cards are some kind of attribute. All right. And the attribute could be steel claws that emerge from your hands. It could be, I don't know, covered in porcupine quills. It could be 10 of them. So your character card might be a xenomorph. And your attribute is actually 10 xenomorphs.
Okay, right.
You know, it could be 10 stories tall. All kinds of ridiculous, crazy things.
Right.
Okay. So I start of a round, everybody has 3 characters and 3 attributes in their hand, and they pick one of each.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go around the table, and everybody puts out their character and says, okay, I'm Gandhi, and I can only be killed by laughing too much. Okay, because that's the only thing that could ever possibly kill Gandhi, because he's so serious. Okay, and I have to present some justification for that. And then the next, after I introduce my character, the next guy comes along. So I go around the table, and everybody introduces their character and what their special condition is, what their attribute is. And some of these attributes are positive, and some of them are negative. Obviously, you want to pick the more powerful ones, but you know, if you have a hand of all negative stuff, you're probably just going to pick whatever's the funniest.
In hope.
And after everyone's introduced their character and they've argued a little bit about who's the strongest, then you go back around the table in order again, and you have to draw another attribute card from the stack and play that on top of your character. So I'm Gandhi, and I can only kill by laughing, but the next attribute is actually I'm a cosplayer. So I'm not actually Gandhi. I'm a little kid pretending to be Gandhi who can only be killed by laughing. So what kind of threat am I? You know? Or it might mean that I'm Gandhi and I can only be killed by laughing to death, and I'm driving a tank.
Which
could be pretty cool. Yeah. So and so then everybody picks that second attribute that's a surprise, and then you just argue it out about who's going to win in a fight between all these characters. And the way we played, I don't know if this is in the rules or not, but the way we played is one person sat out each round. So whoever won the last round sits out the next round and is kind of the arbiter and the ultimate judge of who the winner is.
Okay.
And then whoever wins that round, they pick up their character card as their point, and then they sit out the next round, and you play till, 3, 4, or 5 points, whatever you want to do.
Nice.
And it was, you know, the simplicity of Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples. So the simplicity of that, but I think there's a lot more variety in it. It does require more engagement from the players, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because Cards and Apples to Apples are very casual games,
it's more like on the finish it side of things.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to require you to make some stories up and things.
Yeah, this is an active game, whereas those are passive games.
Right.
Yeah. Also, in those, all the humor comes from the cards, and in this, some of the humor comes from the cards, but more of it comes from the players, and I really, really like that a lot.
That's cool.
So Super Fight is definitely the most fun game I played all year, except for Finish It. You know, I can't pick my own. So, yeah.
Sweet. All right. So my turn to ask a question.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of Gen Con this year?
I'm going to start with some honorable mentions again, some stuff that was great, but of course I'll end with the climax. Doing a live show at Gen Con is always a blast.
Always fun, yeah.
Always so much fun. And after the show, when we hung out and we recorded some intros and some closings and comments and things with some of the listeners, that was super fun too. I liked it a lot. We always love meeting fans of the show,
of course, which is
kind of basically a part of that. It was cool to hang out a little bit with some of the Deathmatch finalists from 2013, some of the winners and the people who didn't make it. Good to kind of catch up with them, see what they were working on, and I met a couple of new contestants for the new year as well. But I mean, hands down, the best part of Gen Con was the Iron Design Challenge.
This is what I have too, of course, because it was so great.
Duh, right?
Yeah.
So,
and we were looking forward to hopefully doing that again.
I really hope so. Yeah.
I mean, I know that people were interested in being there again and being a part of it.
Yeah. And, we'll try and make it a bigger deal this time.
Yeah. The plan is to schedule an event and then keep that event private. But then disseminate that through the show and through Twitter and all of our everyone, so that there'll be a set event that everyone will know about ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that event is where the things will go down, and we're going to try and do it up a little bigger this year too. Now that we have more time to plan, I mean, we'll still plan in the last month. Let's face it, but
yeah, we'll still wait till last minute. But I'll take a little bit more time maybe to make a new trophy. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So
we'll see.
But anyways, we'll. We'll lay the rules out early and let you know what designers are going to be fighting to the death. Mm-hmm. So, because that's the new thing this year, they're going to actually have to fight to the death,
like the for real death.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, we didn't talk about this before, but I'm on board.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So
okay.
So let's make sure that we pick designers that are equally matched.
We could go for David and Goliath kind of thing. You know,
that's true.
Just
yeah.
You know. It's add true, some excitement, yeah. A little unpredictability.
It'd be fun, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways. All right. Well, so.
So, Jason, what was your favorite Kickstarter?
You know, I thought a lot about this. I think, honestly, the one that was my favorite was simply because it was such a surprise. And it was Hostage Negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Kickstarter, you know, I mean, even AJ, I mean, clearly he set a very low goal, right? He knew it could be a tight one, right?
Yeah, right.
And then it made like $43,000 or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. which it was a solo game, and it just blew everyone out of the water that that happened. And I think that was probably the best thing I saw about Kickstarter this year. I mean, we obviously talked about some things that weren't the best,
and
a couple episodes ago, you know. So seeing that as a surprise, that really made my day. And So mm-hmm. and I mean, you know, didn't hurt my feelings about the fact that they're publishing my game. But I mean, honestly, that's not why I picked it. I mean, sure. I picked it because it was so surprising and such a fun, positive story. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and that is a wonderful thing. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I really struggled on this one, and in the end, I don't really think I have a favorite Kickstarter from this year. I mean, my feelings about and about Kickstarter and my contribution to campaigns this year are well known by listeners. You know that,
right?
So I just nothing on Kickstarter really got me excited all year. I mean, I backed a few things, but not much. Nothing really got me jazzed up and got me going this year. So I'll keep my eyes open and hopefully something in 2015 will excite me again.
Like Gunslinging Ramblers.
But yeah, you know, it's just tough. It's tough. I don't know. Kickstarter just leaves me so torn.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't need to rehash all those feelings again.
No,
we've talked about them ad nauseum.
Right.
Yeah.
We have. The listeners are like, ugh, eye roll.
Again.
But, okay. So next question. Is what was your favorite episode of the show?
Well, that's tough. You know, I'm having so much trouble just picking one thing with all these, so I hope you don't mind that I'm talking a lot.
No, it's a lot. I mean, it's okay. It's a lot, but it's okay.
Yeah. Episode 100 was cool.
Episode 100 was definitely one of my runners up.
It was pretty cool because just the fact that we made it to 100 episodes, you know.
Right.
And going back through every game that we pitched since the beginning was, we'll never be able to do that again.
No.
So it was cool that we did that recap. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
I'm really, really, really proud of the interview I did with Max Temkin from Cards Against Humanity.
That was a good one.
Our bonus episode number 29. That was earlier in this year. I'm really proud of that conversation. I'm really pleased with how it turned out. And I think that's probably a highlight for us kind of as a form of entertainment, you know,
or as
something that can inform the audience of things. But I think on a personal level, my personal favorite thing was when we went to pick up Water Balloon Washout.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I actually forgot about that.
Yeah. I think it was really fun just to, you know, to kind of record that and hear our nervousness and our excitement about going to see what the final result was, you know, and then picking it up and opening it up for the first time. I think that was a really fun thing to be a part of. And I think that was kind of a real fulfillment of a lot of the goals that we had with this show starting out with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
2014 was kind of a big year for us meeting a lot of our targets for the show.
Right.
You know, getting you. Actually, thanks to you, mainly. I didn't contribute at all. But, you know, getting Water Balloon Washout done and published and out and getting game signed again, you know. So those are some...
Same game, once again.
But, I mean, it was a good year for that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that I have to reevaluate because I think the Water Balloon Washout probably would be my favorite just for that. I honestly forgot that episode existed. I was so focused on the main episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But so I have two others that I'll now call runners-up. One, of course, was the live show at Gen Con, and that was actually my number one previously just because that is always so much fun. And we had the biggest audience we've had so far this year, and they were just as interactive as they always are, which I super appreciate.
That's great.
But one of the other runners-up I want to mention, and this is nothing against you, but was my episode that I did with Chris Kopak.
Okay.
And that was because I also did one with Katarsky while you were gone. This was when you were in Europe, right?
Yeah.
That's when I did those. Katarsky, that was cool. I mean, he's a great co-host and stuff. But it was cool to have Kopak on because he's not a game designer.
Yeah.
And like... Every time we have co-hosts, they're game designers or a publisher, right? And he's just a guy who plays games and a friend of ours. So it was cool to have a different perspective on the show.
For sure.
But it was also super fun to pitch a game with him, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was one of my favorite things to mention too. But my runner-up for sure was the live show just because that was so great. And then I'll take the Water Balloon Washout answer. I'll copy yours because it was my game and it was super cool.
Sure.
So...
Is it my turn to ask a question?
It is.
What is your favorite pitch that the other guy did?
Hands down. And let's hope you even remember this pitch, but Soda Kings, man.
Soda Kings?
Make
yeah.
that game.
Really?
I'm so excited about
you
that
know,
game.
When we were chatting by email the other day and we were talking about this mechanic, that, and I won't get into all the details of that mechanic right now, but I was saying, and I you were asking me for theme ideas, and I thought Soda Kings. I thought, gosh, is there a way that could work for Soda Kings? But I just didn't have the time to really devote the brain power to it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to make Soda Kings. I just don't think I really have the structure down. It was too fuzzy in my head.
Right. It's definitely, I think, a game you should revisit in 2015.
Okay.
Like, because you never make big games.
I never do.
And that's your shot at making a big board game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With lots of moving parts, a big map on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Of regions and the country you can take over.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Hmm.
And I really think... The thing I really am excited about, and the theme is great. And I think that if you had solid core mechanics and a fun game,
mm-hmm.
the artwork you could do for that game, you would sell that game in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, that because as long as the game is good, obviously, but
well,
like,
of course, yeah.
The artwork for that game would be so amazing.
It'd be a lot of fun.
And yeah, so I mean, I just, yeah.
You know what? I have not forgotten Soda Kings so much so, actually, I think when that. We were talking about that. We were talking about the different regional sodas that, you know,
right.
that we loved as children. And I actually went online and I found that I can order Ski through Amazon and just have bottles of Ski or cans of Ski delivered to my door. So I kind of want to do that.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I also found out, though, that Cactus Cooler is not made anymore. They don't make Cactus Cooler anymore.
I'm pretty sure I found it.
Really?
Well, you know what? Maybe it was sold out, but...
Because I've seen listings, but I couldn't. I don't think it's like I even went to the website of the whatever company owns that brand,
uh-huh.
and it was not like there was a picture of the brand, but every other brand that was like clickable to go
uh-huh.
to that,
but
to
that
place, but that one was not clickable.
It's too bad, because I really would love to try that.
Oh, man, it was
that
so
was
good.
The one I was most jazzed about trying.
Yeah, so good. Yeah,
but Ski through Amazon though, man, that means like
yeah,
free
so,
shipping.
Yeah,
super cheap shipping.
So I need to do that, because that was why I didn't buy it before. From like you could order it from specialty shops, but they would charge you an arm and leg for shipping, you know, glass bottles and stuff. But Amazon shipping was cheap.
No, because when I filled my cart with like $50 worth of soda that I was going to buy and we could just drink while we're on the show.
Yeah.
And it was $100 in shipping.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay, I don't want the soda that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, no, no.
So I would like shave some stuff off, still like $80 in
yeah.
shipping. So.
Yeah, shipping that stuff is expensive.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah, so I need to get on that and do that sometime. Unless any listeners want to send us free cans of soda.
Hey, you know you don't have to send us free cans of soda, but when you know we're going to be at a convention, if you've got any local
totally
sodas,
bring us stuff.
Bring them. I mean, we'll even throw you a couple bucks for it. I mean, if you're just buying soda and
yeah.
not having to pay an exorbitant shipping amount,
maybe I should make that game just so people will bring us free sodas.
I'm down.
Just
with
so
that.
We could just try a bunch of different regional sodas, because I love that idea.
I'm down with you doing that so that I get free soda.
Okay, all right. Well, my favorite pitch of yours. Okay,
right, I'm excited because I have no idea what you're going
to
say.
No, you don't. And this is honestly tied to the theme, not to the mechanics.
Okay.
Okay. I really like your train heist idea.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, because
cool.
I think that is such a cool concept, has so much potential theme wise. I mean, the mechanics, and we tested that, I think, a couple of times.
A lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tested that game 20 times.
Yeah.
And I just never felt like it really.
Well, I think it had. It had some of the same problems that I've had with this fighting game, where there just weren't enough options, not
right.
enough choice, not enough variety.
I know the best version of it that I had was the last one we tried. We actually, it's been so long that we tried it in your office at the old building.
That's right. So this would have been like April,
yeah.
April or May.
That version was the one that had the poker chips.
Yeah.
And you would pull a poker chip out and look at it.
Right.
And then put it back down. So that would basically, the poker chips were saying, it's not that train car, because
yeah.
the poker chips that were sitting out on the center of the mm-hmm. board were the attributes of the actual train car that had it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes, but I think the idea of a deduction game about trying to find the hidden thing and steal it from the train, find what train car it's
right.
in, I think that's a really cool concept that's worth exploring more. And even if you don't preserve those mechanics, I think it's something that's really worth coming back to.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, because
yeah.
I did like that theme.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
good. 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 Your turn.
favorite pitch that you did.
Okay, again, oops. I've got three of them. This is my own game, man, that I pitched.
You just can't handle this.
It's tough, man.
I'm so decisive with this stuff.
Yeah, I'm not. My favorite pitch, Soda Kings, I mean, it's on my list here. Soda Kings, I love that idea. Like I said, though, I'm just not sure that I have mechanically, clarity on it.
Right.
Yeah. I like that human sacrifice game that I did.
I still think it sounds like the mechanics would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I still kind of really like my snowplow game. I think that might be my favorite. My solo snowplowing game.
Wow. There were a lot of listeners really liked that
idea. Yeah, there's a bigger response. I mean, I was kind of charmed by the idea initially,
right,
but didn't really think anybody would care. But we had a big response.
So that was pitched a long time ago. That was a long time ago. Right at the beginning of the year, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, my little snowplow game, solo game. So those are the favorites of mine. I think snowplow above the other ones. How about you? What's your favorite pitch that you did?
That's a tough one, right? So like, honestly, I didn't have a lot of favorite pitches that I did this year. I felt like, I don't know. I felt like I should have had better stuff, but so the one I picked was, because it was on the fly,
mm-hmm,
and because it was a challenge, and because I still like the idea, was the Fantasy Farm Racing with the Halfling Hen Skaters. I mean,
yeah,
just because the theme is so ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous.
But like, it still feels incredibly sellable, which I think is kind of cool because it's so ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And it was begat out of my hatred of another game. And so, mm-hmm, I think if you start with hatred,
mm-hmm, start everything you do with hate.
Yeah, and then butcher something you hate and turn, uh-huh, it into something you love.
Okay, yeah. So words of advice from Jason Slingerland. Start everything you do with hate and then butcher it.
And then turn it into love.
By butchering.
No, seriously, though, I really like that, uh-huh, one because it was fun. It was funny, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy with what I came up with on the fly like that. You know?
Sure.
Now, granted, part of me is enamored by what the game is becoming.
Yeah.
You know, but still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's okay. That's totally valid.
So, anyways. All right. Oh, wait. No, now it's your turn to ask questions.
Is it my turn again?
Yeah.
What is your favorite prototype that you made? Oh, no. Sorry. We're starting with favorite prototype that the other guy made.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's easy. My favorite prototype that you made was Epic Monster Tea Party.
Yeah, okay.
Which then became a game and now is like a real legit thing.
Now it's a real legit thing. Okay.
Because that, I love that game. It's so fun.
Yeah, I like it too.
And everyone that plays that game seems to love that game. Yeah. So
everybody who plays that game seems to like it and they say, but what if you added this?
But what if you added 12 new things to it? I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah.
But now I stopped asking for that because I realized that the game is pretty perfect with a couple more tweaks. I still think you could use a couple tweaks, but you've already talked about doing. I just don't think you've had time to.
I just haven't time to update the version on GameCrafter. No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah.
My favorite prototype that you made was And Out Come the Wolves.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you hated that game.
Well, no. No. I mean, I think I hated it in its first incarnation, but you did two or three revisions to it.
Yeah
But the whatever the more recent one was that you did, I really liked that a lot. And I know it still wasn't there 100%,
right,
but I could see that being a thing. That was where we were building shelters and mm-hmm, and fences and things to keep the wolves away and scare them away and you know, kind of reroute them to attack other players. But sometimes you wanted to go ahead and let a wolf through so that you could get something from it. It's been a while.
You would have so many bullets and so many arrows.
Yeah.
So if you let some wolves through so you could kill them and collect their pelts,
they were worth
something at the end of the game. But yeah, the idea was that if you were the last player, like being the first player for, mm-hmm, the turn always sucked because you would go, everyone else would go, and then it would reverse. So like a pack of wolves would come for me that I had earned by taking stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the pack of wolves would come for me and then I would defend as much as I could and then hide from the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would come to you plus the wolves that you earned.
Yeah.
So by the time it got to the last person, they are just piled on with all these wolves. And they would kind of get hosed. But that was cool because the next turn, it would be the next guy.
Right, right.
So it was very fair because everyone was going to get hosed at least once during the game. Yeah. No, that might be one to revisit, actually. Mm-hmm. you know, the biggest problem was the scoring system and trying to decide what was worth points at the end. And
yeah,
just with you saying that right now, I was, and you were saying putting up fences to protect yourself. What if you just had a pool of animals and everyone started with a number of sheep or cows or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And chickens, and each of those were worth points at the end of the game, plus the wolf pelts you get, right? And the game ends when the first person runs out of animals. Because okay. Like basically, instead of losing your shelter and stuff from yeah. the wolves, you're just losing animals from your flock, right? And yeah. different animals are with different points. So you can choose which animals you give up. Yeah, well, it might be worth exploring again. I mean, yeah. I've already made a prototype for it, so tweaking it would be better than starting from scratch.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just remember having some fun with that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Now it's your turn.
What was your favorite prototype that you made?
Favorite prototype that...
So I've got 12 on the list, too.
I tried to limit myself to 3.
I'm just kidding.
I'm enjoying this fighting game a lot. I think it's been a fun little small project here for the end of the year. I like Innkeepers a lot. Innkeepers... is one of the biggest games that I've designed, and it's not a big sprawling game, but it's been fun to
it's component heavy though.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces,
especially
in that.
For you.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of stuff going on in that game, and that's been a lot of fun. But I mean, Epic Monster Tea Party, it's everything about it's just been fun,
right.
And charming, and just everything from start to finish has been fun to work on with that game.
Right.
The initial prototype all the way to the final design that I put on GameCrafter, and a lot of times this stuff is work. I mean, the new ideas are fun, but at some point it becomes work, and Tea Party I don't think has ever been work. It's always been fun. So I've really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. So now what? It's my favorite prototype that I made?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the Beat on the Street.
Yeah.
And that's just because it was like, I literally made the prototype in like an hour. You know what I mean? Like I made a rough prototype,
yeah,
played it a couple times, and then immediately made a nicer prototype and took it to Unpub.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of people were talking about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's a game I still want to get back to.
Yeah.
I haven't lately, just because I just haven't had time.
Sure.
But I would like to have a version of it at Unpub, just slightly tweaked from before.
Mm-hmm.
Because people really liked playing it, and it was loud and it was obnoxious, and mm-hmm. people thought it was fun.
And
so.
That is fun. That can be a lot of fun. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think that was it for me.
Right on.
Now it's your turn to ask a question.
What is the best thing about doing a podcast?
I struggle with this one because mm-hmm. there's a lot of good things, right, about doing a podcast, but honestly, we've been doing this podcast now this is our third year in review, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Somehow, I am still having loads of fun doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that because I feel like by now I shouldn't be having loads of fun. Like mm-hmm. we've done this like 134 times already.
Mm-hmm. It's the 135th time plus bonus episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
But I still love it. Like I still really enjoy it. And I mean, I feel like the listeners still respond and I really mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah. I think that's it for me is the fact that I still...
The best thing about doing a podcast is that it's still fun.
Yeah, after all this time. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be doing it anymore.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think we'd do it begrudgingly for a little while.
Yeah. I probably would cut that short, though. Because I don't have a lot of patience for things that aren't fun. I mean, let's be honest.
So other than that, obviously, the other thing that's great is just, you know, interacting with people, like, mm-hmm. from the show and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and getting... stuff from the fans and stuff, because I just like talking to the audience, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
well, for me, I think it's all the free games that we get. They just keep coming in the mail, you know. People just send us tons of free games.
Do they send them to you? Because I don't get them.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. No, I don't think we've ever gotten a free game. I think there have been a couple of times when somebody accidentally gave us a game.
Yeah,
but I've
traded my games for people's games.
Oh, that's
somebody's closest. Like, hey, do you want this game? I was like, sure. You want a copy of Waterboom Washout? Okay, done.
Okay, yeah.
Pants.
No, I mean the real thing that's the best is that we're famous and rich now.
Yep, that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, everyone knows who we are nationwide. You know, internationally we're known, and we we're not making any money off this, and no one knows who the heck we are.
Right. Though, you know what's nice about being in the third year of the show? It's cost a lot less money recently.
That's for sure. we're not spending any money at all, really. No, my true favorite thing, I think, is editing the show on Sunday mornings with a hangover. That's so great. So great getting up and going, oh, I have to edit the show. Oh, I have to edit the show. No, I'm kidding. That's not so bad. It's just all, yeah. What you said, fans, meeting people, talking to people. It's great. And I mean, despite the fact that we really have gotten nothing out of this monetarily.
Of course not.
Of course not. We don't get anything free. And I pretty much always wake up on Sunday mornings and going, oh, I did a show today. Sometimes with a hangover. But that's okay. I don't care because it's fun, and it's fun to talk to people and meet people and do all that stuff.
It is funny though, the realistic side of hosting a podcast where you're not, we don't have ads. Mm-hmm. We don't let people pay us to say good things about their games.
Yes.
That would be dishonest.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, we don't do anything that generates revenue. We literally just don't do anything. So the podcasts are not free. And we've spent a good deal of our own money doing those podcasts.
Buying equipment and hosting and gas, driving to each other's houses. And
prizes.
Prize support.
For stuff, you know, I mean.
Traveling to events.
Ads. Because we still buy ads sometimes for things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like for Unpub and stuff like that.
But we're not asking you guys for money?
No.
Please don't think this is some kind of plea for money.
No. I was just saying, you know, it's like if you're going to get into podcasting, realize that if you want to do it up, it's probably going to cost you some money.
Right. It doesn't have to cost you a lot of money, but I mean, if you want to sound like crap, you can sound like crap. You can buy cheap microphones or use the one that's built in your computer monitor. You can do that.
You can.
Then you can use Skype. And
well, we use Skype, but we,
when we have to, but not every day.
I know.
Yeah.
No, but there is a, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it's like the listeners like feel bad. It's just one of the realities of podcasting, and I think it goes to show how much we really like doing it, that we're willing to spend our own hard-earned money to continue doing the podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about Pump Up the Volume a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I was thinking about that, what a great movie that is. And the other night I watched Wayne's World again.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And I was like...
All right.
Okay. I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, I wonder if that's those two things are why I like podcasting, because Christian Slater and Pump Up the Volume was so cool, you know, just
cool,
saying whatever he wanted and people were listening. And Wayne's World, public access, you know, nobody could stop him from doing what he was doing, his show, and he and Garth could say and do whatever they wanted on their show. I thought, I wonder if that's kind of, if something in that like was embedded in me as a young teenager, you know, as an adolescent, something that kind of lodged itself in me and said, I want to be able to communicate with people that way too.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's just something that's kind of been bouncing around in my head in the last few days, you know?
I could see that.
Yeah. But
yeah, no. I certainly enjoy, all that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And just hearing my voice in my headphones.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Yeah, that it's just so great just to listen to yourself. It's so clear.
Well, these mics are super nice.
They're good mics, yeah.
All right, what's next here?
What would you do differently next year?
The same thing I say every year. Make more prototypes. Test more games.
Yep.
I mean, that's never going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Publish more games? That'd be kind of sweet.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an obvious one. So I tried to take a different tack. I'd like us to get some more bonus episodes done.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, because we failed on that in the second half of the year.
2013 was like the year of the bonus episodes.
Right.
We like kicked it in 2013.
2014, we biffed big time. After mid-year, we just totally dropped off and stopped doing those.
Let me tell you something, listeners, a little secret here.
Yeah.
Our numbers definitely show the difference between when we do bonus episodes.
Yeah. And
we
don't. We can tell.
We get a lot more listens with those bonus episodes. So,
yeah.
Anyways, I just was noticing that recently because we had the one bonus episode, the finish it bonus episode, and I was like, spike.
Yeah. Yeah. So the numbers are better when we do bonus episodes.
Not that the numbers matter, but we pay attention to them because we want to know that our audience is either growing or at least is staying the same.
Right.
Because if it started to like plummet, then we would know that maybe people just didn't care anymore. And they finally realized that we don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
And that we're not even that funny. So,
Well, we're not very funny, but Yeah, so more bonus episodes. We gotta do that, man.
That's good. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. Next.
What game coming out in 2015 are you most excited about?
I could not come up with anything for this because I have no idea what games are coming out in 2015. I like last year, I feel like I had a good sense of upcoming stuff, but this year, not a clue.
Yeah.
I didn't get any indication from when we were at Gen Con or stuff that I've read. I just don't know. So I'll use a cop-out answer. I'm most excited about the game that I don't know about yet that's going to be super awesome.
That's a lame answer.
It's a super lame answer. So I feel bad, but I just don't have anything for this.
Mine's a theoretical answer.
Yeah.
Gunslinger Rainbow. Yes. It's only theoretical because I don't know exactly when the Kickstarter will be and therefore whether or not it will come out in 2015. Right. But assuming it does, that better be your favorite game too. You and every friggin' listener.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, that's, you know, and that also... Actually, tying back to the previous question, could help us with the bonus episodes because I know AJ's talked about being able to come on. And as we start doing more things and starting development and stuff, and I think that's a great idea because because it's more bonus episodes and it's a good inside look for the listeners.
It's more follow through on what our goals are for the show.
So
Last question: what are you looking forward to most for the show in 2015?
Off the top of my head, I'd say. But I guess off the top of my head from the list I just read, but the first thing that came to mind when I did this, and I literally just, I answered this question the fastest, was Unpub. The fact that we're both going to Unpub, I feel really good about that for the show because with both of us there, we'll get more interviews. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to more people. But I just think that's great. Last year, it was a really positive experience. The only thing missing was you. So, hey, you're going to be there this year. That's exciting.
Yeah, that was my answer too. Unpub. I still wish that I'd been able to go last year. So going this year I'm excited about that. It's going to be a good thing. Unpub. I don't know if I'm going to sell a game or not, but
you're going to try.
I'm going to try.
And if nothing else, we're going to talk to a lot of designers about a lot of stuff.
Right. Get a lot of playtesting done
and
just have a good time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gen Con, of course, looking forward to as well. That's always going to be good. Grand Con next year, I'm excited about. Next year, I think we talked about this before, but I don't think we're going to get a table next year at Grand Con.
Nah.
Because, I mean, you sold Water Balloon Washout, and it did really well.
Sold some copies of HoboCon, surprisingly.
Yeah, which was amazing. But I think we missed just kind of being out and about and mobile and playing more games and talking and hanging out with more people. So
yeah, we're going to do more of that next year.
Yeah. I mean, we'll still talk it up because we love Grand Con. We love our hometown con. I don't think we're going to we're just not going to pursue that table thing because it's just not, where we want to be, not how we want to interact with people.
The reward was I paid for everything at Grand Con in cash and came back with extra money.
Yeah.
After buying games and stuff too, which was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
The loss was for the show. There was a loss. We didn't get as much stuff as we hoped done for the show. Right. And you know, we missed on some things. I mean, we didn't get to play Gray's game, which I really wanted to play.
I know. I still feel really bad about that because that looks super cool.
It did. And had we have been around more earlier, he was around all the time. We could have certainly played it. So, but next year we will, or if we see him before that. But anyways, I just, you know, there were those types of little things that we just missed, like a game here, a game there.
Right.
Because we were working a table for 8 hours. And so that's all right. I mean, it was an experience to have.
Right.
And at the time, it was really nice to not have to pay for anything.
Yeah, sure.
To just make some money for once off selling stuff. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. But Unpub. Unpub is the big thing in 2015 that I'm excited about. We got to buy our plane tickets.
We got to buy our plane tickets. Yeah. So, and if you go to Unpub, there's a chance you can win a copy of Water Balloon Washout.
Hey.
So I'm donating like 20 copies of the game to them. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good. So,
yeah. I mean, I want to support Unpub and, you know, tax write-ups are cool. So.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I have a few extra copies of the game later on.
One or two.
On,
so. Yeah.
One or two.
I think I've got a copy or two.
One or
myself.
Two dozen boxes. But yeah, cool. So I thought that'd be kind of fun. Next year, we should also do some contests again. It's been a while since we've done some contests.
It has
been
a little too long, honestly. Yeah. We got busy this year and kind of lost track of stuff.
We'll try and do like a bigger contest maybe and put some real prizes behind it.
Okay. Let's try and do that. I'd like that.
So
if any listeners want to donate some prizes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a publisher or a designer who listens, who'd be willing to throw a game or two at us, we could do a bigger contest with even multiple prizes maybe, you know, for rather than a winner-take-all scenario.
Right, and we said it, I don't recall what the criteria was. We were going to have a contest to give away all of our games that we've made so far.
That was when we hit 2,000 Twitter followers.
2,000, was that 2,000 Twitter followers?
Yeah, I think so.
Where are we at with that?
We're actually doing all right.
I thought it was likes on Facebook.
No, 2,000 likes on Facebook? Good Lord, dude. We'd be waiting for like 6 years. Plus, here's the trick about Facebook, guys. We would love it if you liked us on Facebook because we like the numbers. But we don't ever update the Facebook page.
No.
I mean,
it just sits there.
I mean, it's just there. But, you know, you show your support. We appreciate it.
Yeah. How many Twitter followers are we at? With the podcast, not with our personals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personals, I just crossed 700. But oh, man. Whatever, it's cool.
Where am I? Now I got to check me.
1,161. Okay. So, guys, we got a ways to go.
Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, we've crossed 161 more people since we crossed 1,000, which we were amazed that we crossed 1,000. Especially because I stopped following people back.
Yeah.
So, we're only at 360 following. So, we're actually doing pretty good.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, if we get to 2,000 Twitter followers, we'll give away a prize package.
Of every game we have
every
published.
Every game. That's going to be Water Balloon Washout, Rumpelbum Academy, Epic Monster Tea Party, Finish It, and anything else that we have done in the meantime.
I mean, let's be honest. Probably Gunslinger and Ramblers at that
By
point.
By then,
because
hopefully.
Because I doubt we're going to hit... I doubt we're going to...
And who knows what other crazy things I might end up throwing up on GameCrafter.
Right. I mean, I'm confident you're going to have more on GameCrafter by the time this happens.
Yeah.
Maybe at some point I'll have a game on GameCrafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this fighting game thing is moving that way.
Right.
Moving in that direction.
Because I've talked for a while about trying to put the beat on the street on GameCrafter, because you've even said the artwork that I did
would be
total. Well, I have the backgrounds and stuff. And you said that'd be fine.
Yeah, sure.
To use for GameCrafter. So it was all free stuff. So
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at some point, if I get a proto that I'm real happy with, I might do that just for giggles. You know? Yeah,
don't forget about new. I think it's opengameart.org.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great site for free open source, and maybe not open source, but you know, copyright free art for that kind of stuff too.
Cool.
I use that for prototypes a lot too.
Cool.
But yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so I guess that's it. What else? We have some goofy stuff coming up in the new year, don't we?
2015 is going to be funny.
Yeah,
so.
We're going to start it off with some craziness.
Yeah,
some crazy, silly stuff. I mean, we're nothing game changing, but it's just get ready for some really goofball nonsense, guys.
We had some funny ideas.
We did here at the tail end of the year,
but we decided to hold off till hopefully next episode, right?
Next episode, you'll get some interesting new stuff happening.
Right. So
next episode.
Should be fun.
And we look forward to hearing your comments about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. I think that's it. I think 2014's been quite a year.
I concur.
Yeah.
It's been great. Yeah. So.
So thanks, everybody, for hanging in there with us, for listening to the show, for following along, for talking to us on Twitter, on email, meeting us at conventions. We've had a good year. We hope you have too. I don't know. Any final thoughts?
No. I hope 2015 is as awesome as 2014.
Mm-hmm. So. I hope it's awesomer.
Awesomer.
Mm-hmm.
More and more awesomer. I hope it's the awesomester.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hope it's the awesomest awesome year that ever awesomed. Yeah.
You said.
Yeah.
All right. Good night and happy new year to everyone.
I got to do the whole outro thing. Come on, man.
Well.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland and I'm @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can buy our games. Water Balloon Washout, the Rumpelbum Academy for a bug-based baking, Epic Monster Tea Party, and Finish It, the outrageous storytelling party game. You can link to all those through the website, buildinggamepodcast.com, and call our Google Voice number and leave us a voicemail at 770-TEL-BTG, and we'll see you guys in the new year. There it is. Good night.
Yeah, good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Want to talk into that for me?
Hello. Right. Hello. Hello.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Hello.
Okay. Ready when you are, sir.
Hi, I'm Chris Kopak. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason.
Great. Awesome. Keep going. Say it as much as you want, man.
Say that again, or...
If you didn't like it. Hey, you can do whatever you want. That's the whole point.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Jason. You guys are doing a podcast about game building. Everybody listen.
Is that actually the script?
No. Yeah, it's right.
He's off
right
book there. Already.
It's right there. It's right there. All right, I'll try some closing here.
Okay.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Beautiful. Great. Anybody else?
I'll do some.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Well, he's got a script for this, too.
Scripts.
Ready.
Ready.
Hello and welcome to the Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason.
You added an extra "the" in there.
Ah, sh**.
Keep going.
Okay. This is the What You've Been Playing feat. No. And now, the feature of the week. Next time on Building the Game.
Awesome.
And nobody did this one yet. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
So,
oh, you did?
Thanks,
I didn't hear you.
For listening.
Who's next?
Oh. Hey, Rob and Jason, what you been playing?
Perfect. Who's next?
Come on, TC.
No obligation.
I'll demonstrate for TC.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got this. I'm Ion Award-winning designer T.C. Petty, and you're listening to the Building the Game podcast.
You can leave now.
Yeah. You're good.
I'm the stunt double.
You got a stunt double.
Anybody else? We need more promos. All right.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Okay, now that I've spit all over your mic, let's try again.
You should say that.
Poorly announced bros. Okay, one more time. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. I'm Roger Hicks of Today in Board Games, and you're listening to Building the Game.
All right.
Excellent. I got another intro.
We got another one? Yeah, we have more scripts.
Okay. I'm award winning.
Hello, and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Rob and Jason.
Sounded like
I
can't
get more jazz music. I don't know what I'm thinking. Am I good?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. Hi, I'm TC Petty III. Let's get jazzed for another episode of Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason. Yeah!
Yeah! Great.
All right. I think the fake enthusiasm is awesome.
Do you want to?
I'm TC Petty the third, and I have a lot of fake enthusiasm for. All right, I gotta actually have fake enthusiasm. Hi, I'm TC Petty the third, and I have a lot of fake enthusiasm for Building the Game podcast with Rob and Jason.
Oh, that's perfect.
I have one thing.
That's fine.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Here's another last minute pitch by Jason Slingerland.
Every time. It's true.
You gonna do one?
Jason, didn't get my
if you weren't so
today,
good at it.
He was doing this pitch. You're gonna be good at one thing.
This is my first Gen Con. All my energy is sapped.
Oh,
perfect.
You sound apathetic like we do on the show.
Hello, and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason. What you been playing? The feature of the week. Practicing the pitch. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
That was awesome! Throw all the other crap away!
That was no energy? No, I don't know. We'll see what energy was there.
If people don't pay you for that, they should.
Yeah, that's great.
This is Kenzumi Goddess Award-winning Gray Dietrich, and you're listening to Building the Game.
Oh, yeah! So you're the guy.
Yes,
that's
the guy. Lucky man.
That's awesome. So, Paul, you have the recording on that.
I know I have it. Okay.
All right.
Let's say, what's the script?
Over yeah, here. Help yourself.
Hello, and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason. What you been playing? The feature of the week. Practicing the pitch. Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Woohoo!
Have fun.
All right. You guys had your fill? We got this room for like another 45 minutes.
Oh, sweet, I can work on my voice again.
Yeah. I'll try something.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, you never recorded one yet, man?
No.
Oh, all right.
All right. What you been playing? Like, we haven't heard that on another podcast before.
Oh.
What did you say? What did you say?
I'll record it again. What you been playing? Like, we haven't heard that on another podcast before. The feature of the week. Okay. No, that wasn't good. Hang on. Hang on.
Wait.
Just... Okay, sure. Oh, yeah. Wait, I got it a little. All right. The feature of the week. Maybe we did some research this time.
Iteration.
Yep. Hang on. Oh, I gotta think for this.
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, just the follow-up. Yeah. Well, he's editing these, obviously.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, all right. Practicing the pitch. Maybe we get it right this time.
A little weaker.
Yeah, I'll just do the mid-show ones.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do anything.
I'll do a
unless I can think of something snarky for the intro, but we'll see. Oh, there's no.
This is live from Gen Con 2014. Hello and welcome. Sorry. Hello and welcome to Building the Game documentary podcast. I haven't slept in 2 days with Rob and Jason.
That could be
Right, I know. I only want to have one.
Oh.
I actually ran into a guy that sounded like that this morning.
Yeah. All right, I think, are we good?
Girl,
yeah. Oh, yes.
All right. Hold on to your beer. It's building the game.
You blew that out a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold
on to your beer. It's building the game.
Excellent.
And now, practicing the pitch with foremost Bombardier Beetle experts, Jason and Rob.
Hello, and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary... Hello. Thank you.
I hope that
you hope that that got recorded. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast with Rob and Jason. Let's see if Rob knows what day of the week it is.
Ooh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I'm done. Thanks, guys.